Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, we are back. Glad you're with us on this Monday. Chris and Jeff, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Lots to cover from the weekend and the installment of the 5 at 5. Some Georgia football, some NBA playoffs, some Georgia baseball. Some new college football rules, too.
Yeah, that's an interesting one with the kickoff. And by the way, the Golden Pantry at 5 points today for the customers who came in and found an extra 26 cents sitting in the penny jar today. You're welcome.
You put that in there?
Well.
You left a quarter and a penny in there?
Penny from 1977, quarter from 1989. Those were years that we lost to Tech.
So
I went
I see.
I got my Powerade halfway through my walk, which was frigid this morning. It was like a, I guess 26. I'm bad. $1.74. It's like, well, bad year. I'll just leave these for the next guy.
Let me ask you: if you had a $100 bill with a year we lost Tech on it, what would you do? Would you just discard that?
No, I wouldn't throw it away. I would spend.
You burn it.
Or spend it quickly.
Yeah. Would you tear it up?
No.
What if there was a $100 bill from 08?
Whew.
That was a bad loss.
Have to trade that out.
That was a bad loss.
The last three have been awful.
Yeah.
All of them in Athens.
Yeah, including two in a row, which is why this year, still a revenge game.
You got that right.
There's one more on the Kirby Smart Vengeance Tour, and that'll be this Thanksgiving weekend against Tech.
I've got visions of that game. I've had a couple already that were up 28-24 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's closer than it's going to be, Jeff.
And we throw it to Godwin. We're going from west to east. He catches one over the middle, breaks a tackle, and scores down the left sideline.
Okay. So we win 35-24. Do they score again late to make it interesting?
No. Then we get a pick, and Zamir White runs it in, and it's 42-24.
Okay. All right. Is that a cover? Have you looked at the point spread?
I'd rather be up by more than four in the fourth quarter, though, just for my health and sanity.
Yeah, but for sure. But if we win going away.
But it's May 1st. I'm good till.
Yeah, we're good till May Day. That's what I was given for. Are we going to beat Tech this year? Yeah, we are.
All right.
Yeah. We're not losing three in a row to those guys. Not unless Kirby wants to find himself on the hot seat. Not unless he wants to spend the Christmas holiday season on the hot seat. He better not lose to Tech at home.
It would be nice just to give them a whooping here.
That's the one game where if there's still one where you're thinking about, like, you know, the whole attitude with last season and the way that I think the season took shape with a lot of that, vengeance kind of being that priority.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the one game where I think you could still make the case, even though we did beat them last year viciously.
Yes.
On their own home field, but they have won two in a row over here. So
only downer about that one. It was 38-7. We were Holyfield almost broke.
Well, yeah. Well, we brought Eason in, and he didn't let him throw it.
Maybe when we were in the red zone, maybe on fourth down, just let him throw one to the end zone.
Well, I felt like after their one goon committed that personal foul, that it was like, okay. All we're doing is handing it off.
And we had the second team in.
And you're going to hit us late. Okay, so we're going to start throwing.
At least on fourth down.
Yeah.
But I'll take 38-7 again. I won't get too greedy.
Right. All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, spring football wraps up this week. G-Day is Saturday. Have we learned anything yet about this team heading into 2018 from spring ball, or what do we know?
Probably not a ton that we didn't already anticipate. I think number one, and you can just tell by Kirby's comments to the press, that really looking for that leadership to emerge. Got to stay healthy on the defensive line. I think that second team secondary is going to be a concern because you got a lot of youth there. But the pluses are certainly having so many early enrollees from this incredibly elite recruiting class, and that finally, even though Georgia loses a great player in Isaiah Wynn, it looks like this offensive line is taking shape. And it's a bit of a rarity in spring ball to have that offense ahead of the defense, and that O-line, it's what we've been looking for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the defense, to be fair to it, does, I guess, have – I mean, there are more players overall. Chubb and Michelle are two big pieces gone, and then win on the left side. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you still potentially do have what? I mean, just Chubb, Michelle, and Wynn is the only starters lost from there.
Wims, yeah.
And Wims also, yeah. So, four starters lost, so – seven back there, and you're missing about half the defense, I guess.
Yeah, really, really over, because if Patrick plays, you're talking about three-quarters of the linebacking core. The D-line, I know those guys rotated around a lot, and then three of the top five DBs.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's really good talent there. The question is the leadership and just the experience. But Georgia's going to have really good players in those positions, but – you know, Brenton Cox and Adam Anderson, those guys might wind up being better than Bellamy and Carter, but they're not going to be right away.
Well, you know, I don't know how accurate this piece was, but prior to the national championship game, there was a pretty good, you know, rundown of Bama and Georgia from Pro Football Focus, and they actually had snap counts listed. And, I mean, they had Ledbetter and Clark had played more snaps on our D-line last year than anyone. Now, granted, Thompson did miss, like, two games. But even when he played, I mean, he was playing maybe, what, half the snaps during a game anyhow?
So,
Georgia losing Thompson, losing Atkins. But, and I get it. I mean, the ranks are thin there. You need that. If there's a position group that really needs to stay healthy this year, that's it. But it certainly isn't, you know, short on experience.
No. And, again, if we stay healthy there, there's good depth, but if we get a couple of guys hurt, boy, then it's getting thin. And again, you're just looking at a spot where between the classes of 17 and 18, you know, Georgia didn't sign any defensive tackles in 17, and you know, I've got Devontae Wyatt in now, and you know, signed Jordan Davis and Tremel Waltower. So, you know, that is priority number one. I think you'll see Georgia sign at least three, if not four, defensive tackles in 2019. Or hopefully get those guys in 2018, and I think you would probably see three defensive ends. And by the way, how about that guy showed you his mugshot last week?
Yeah, the big defensive lineman he's down in South Florida, isn't he?
His name's Derek Hunter.
Yeah.
But
he looked like – I mean, those pictures of Vince Wilfork when he was in high school where he already looked like he was a grown man.
Yes.
He was like 40 or even, what was his name, A'shaun Robinson.
A'shaun Robinson from Bama. But, yeah, I would say you have Trayvon Walker and Jalen Humphreys are guys that are heavy Georgia leans that are really must-gets for Georgia on the defensive line. You know, getting that Bill Norton from Memphis was a great pick. I mean, he's 6'6", 280 pounds. And you'll probably see Georgia go out of state for a couple of guys, a prospect from Florida we just talked about. And the, I think there are three guys from North Carolina on the defensive line that are interested in Georgia. And there's a defensive end named Justin Aboyge. I might be pronouncing his name a shade wrong, who is a Georgia lean. So we'll get a really good defensive line class, but that is the absolute must area for the Dogs in recruiting.
Yeah, I've spent most of this spring kind of keeping up with the progress other schools in the division are making because, you know, I mean, Georgia now is ahead of the pack in the SEC East, and, you know, I don't think Georgia's going to fall all the way back. Those other teams have got to try and catch up with Georgia to some degree now and just trying to gauge how things are going around the conference. And the one school I'm worried about the most is obviously Florida because – They made a massive upgrade at head coach with Dan Mullen.
And it's interesting, too, with Mullen going there, you know, this was the third time his name was mentioned as Florida's potential head coach. And it seemed like this was the time. I mean, I had heard it was a done deal when they hired, I guess, Will back in 2011, that Mullen was going to get the job. Then, obviously, it was not. And then you thought, well, maybe –
He played it right, though.
Right.
He didn't immediately follow Urban, and he had two other coaches go there and fail in between.
But to me, this time, his name wasn't the first one that kept coming up. But then, that was obviously just an incredibly solid hire there for Florida.
Well, then the AD came from State, so they had a relationship beforehand too.
I think Tennessee, they're, even if Pruitt gets it going there, I think it's going to take them a year or two to get well. They're just their depth of talent's not that good. I think South Carolina is going to be very good. And, you know, with Missouri, they got Drew Locke back. And they've got – so that tight end caught, what, 10, 11 touchdown passes?
They included, he had one against us.
Yeah.
We let him get behind us.
You know,
we allowed him to get behind us.
We allowed those guys to get behind us. Oh, yeah, well, that's like, you know, allowing Ebony listening a raccoon to walk into your house. I mean, come on.
And then feed it.
I know.
Yeah. You know, those things have rabies.
Some of them.
Some of them do, yeah.
They're tough animals.
They are. They're mean. You ever seen The Great Outdoors? They were making fun of them.
What a...
Put the subtitles on there.
What do you think these claws are for?
Imagine what those raccoons were saying about Evan. Can't believe this moron just let us into his house.
Outstanding 80s comedy, by the way, The Great Outdoors. One of Dan Aykroyd and John Candy's finer works.
Jeff, we'll stick with some college football now as we move on with some new rules. But I guess the biggest one is they're changing the kickoff rule to now you can fair catch inside the 25-yard line and get the ball on the 25-yard line. So if you want to make a fair catch on the 10, it's a touchback.
Mm.
Jeff, what do we think about this new rule?
I don't like the rule, but I get it. It's all about player safety. I think eventually what they're going to do is either do away with the kickoffs. But if I could suggest, at the very least, could we at the very least do – basketball used to have a jump ball every time. Then they went to alternate possessions.
I wish they'd do a jump ball every time.
I love jump balls.
Yeah. Why did there should be more jump balls.
I agree. Let's at least with the kickoffs, at least if you just start saying, all right, we're just going to give every team the ball in the 25 every time, at least you still have to kick off the game and kick off the second half. I think that would be a must. But and I get so much of this is about player safety, but what this does, you know, if you've got a kicker like Rodrigo, and obviously Kevin's done such an unbelievable job working with him, and it's one thing – And here's the deal. To me, the touchback, it's lost a little bit of its value because the ball's on the 25 and not the 20. But at the same time, you're booming it through. And you know a reason coaches love that? That's just something less they got to worry about. So, yeah, you're still going to work on kick coverage. And Georgia puts in a ton of time with that. But if you got a kicker that's going to put it out of the end zone or deep in the end zone most every time, you don't have to worry about the other guy returning it very much. But if you do have a talented guy like Rodrigo and you can do those high directional kicks and maybe have it where, you know, the receiving team's gonna catch it over in the corner, say around the 4 or 5 yard line, well, you lose that advantage now because they'll just fair catch it and boom, they're on the 25.
Yeah, which is why they moved the touchback from the 20 to the 25 to try and discourage kicking it out of the end zone because, like, hey, it's boring. You're just kicking it out of the end zone. And they also moved kickoffs back from the 40 to the 35 to discourage that. So, well, now they want touchbacks. So why not just move the kickoffs back to the 40 then
and
have touchbacks back to the 20?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Instead of because you're eliminating the potential strategy there of a team that wants to try and pooch kick and give a team lousy field position.
No, I agree. So basically, I think the strategy now, do you remember in 2014 when we were really struck Kentucky and then Tech burned us with it. Now, we didn't work on special teams nearly as much as we do now with those high kicks that were coming to about the 30, 35-yard line. And so, I mean, now the play is if you're anywhere from just fair catch it every time because you're either ahead of the 25 or if you're behind it, they'll move you up there. So just fair catch every one.
See, I feel like that it's not even going to lead to more fair catches because most kick returners, like the worst kick returner in the country last year still averaged like 16 yards a return.
Right.
So, I mean, if he catches the ball in like the 10 or he's still going to try and – so you're still going to get returns. What you're eliminating now is
– it's the directional kicks.
Yeah, the directional kicks and trying to pin some team down there. But, I mean, I just – they passed this legislation because they wanted more kick returns.
I know.
And now have decided that kickoffs aren't safe, which I agree with. So now just move 40. Them back to the 40 then and also have touchbacks back to the 20.
What if they put this rule in? I remember when Rex and Kevin were here, they could sometimes kick him through the goalpost on the kickoff. Should you get a point for that? Coach Dooley was like, I think you ought to get a point for that.
Yeah, get a point, or maybe then if you do that, then the possession starts on the 20.
Or how about this? If you kick off from 40 and 20, if you kick, I like your idea. You don't want to give a point there. But if you kick it through the upright, they have to start on the 10.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But they changed kickoffs because they wanted more of them. Now they've realized they want fewer kickoffs, but this is
– we need some stability.
It doesn't seem like very thought out. I mean, if you want fewer kickoffs, returns, then just move the kickoff back to the 40 where it was when there were fewer kickoff returns. And then, you know, if you also want to encourage teams then to just kick touchbacks, then move the touchback back to the 20 instead of the 25, which is meant to discourage touchbacks because, you know, you got to surrender an extra 5 yards of field position now.
I mean, it's just, hey, the 40 and the 20 seems a way to go to me.
Yeah, go back to that instead. But here's one other, change that was made, too, which, remember when the Lions got hooked last year by the Falcons because the NFL has a rule where they don't think a team can get up to the line of scrimmage and run a play? Well, college football, for some reason, looked at that and went, oh, let's do that, too. So they've added a 10-second runoff when instant replay overturns the ruling on the field inside of a minute in either half, and the correct ruling would not have stopped the game clock. So if the officials don't do their job correctly and get the call wrong, the team, you then get punished.
I know. That's asinine. Whenever I hear about stuff like this, then I just start wondering, all right, how is this going to hose us?
Yeah, but
when's it going
to
hit?
So that happened last year to the Lions against the Falcons. And I guess so the NCAA's rules committee looked at that and went, oh, that sounds like a pretty good idea.
No, the NCAA needs to stop following what the NFL's doing, although it looks like maybe they've tried to say a catch is a catch now. I'll tell you something else this means, though, for coaches. There's yet another reason to make sure you keep a timeout in your back pocket.
To avoid that 10-second runoff?
Yeah, because if you're in a spot like that.
Yeah. What bugs me about it, though, really is the official screwed up something, and then you have to
replay it.
And then you end up paying the price. Like, if they had just gotten the call right in the first place.
I know.
Right.
All right. You know what I said, too? I think this would take some time. All right. Whoa. All right. We're going to put the clock where it was. All right. Everybody go back exactly to where you were.
Sure.
All right, in three. All right, freeze. All right,
and now
three,
go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah,
right, everybody. Yeah,
because if the officials had gotten that call right in the Falcons game, the Lions would absolutely have been able to get up to the line of scrimmage and run another play.
Yeah, you could at least get up there and spike it.
But then here, because they had to go back and review it, and they we have to do a 10-second runoff.
Yeah, I don't like that rule.
Game's over.
Just. Whenever college football tries to become more like the NFL, I generally disagree with it.
Yeah, but that's going to come into play sometime this year for Georgia, isn't it?
Or I'm sure at some point, the next time we play a big game against you-know-who, you'll just be holding your breath.
You-know-who's not going to like this rule. The offense now will not be allowed to block below the waist when the block occurs more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Block below the waist at all.
More than five yards beyond the line of scrimmage, yeah.
See, that's another one, too. You know, you're always so for blocking, get low.
Yeah. And other than for interior alignment, all blocks below the waist must be from the front. Although I thought that was already true.
Me too.
Because isn't it a clip otherwise?
Yes, or a block in the back.
Yeah.
So, all right, wait, say again. So, all blocks. So, for the five interior linemen, take them out. Everybody else has got to be from the front. Yeah. Well, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
Really
the offense will not be allowed to block below the waist when the block occurs more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Additionally, other than the interior linemen, all blocks below the waist must be from the front.
Okay.
Which I thought that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so. There's the kickoff rule, but you know, that 10-second runoff thing, I wouldn't sleep on that.
So the old days of, you know, get low on your man and, you know, go for those ankles, trip him up?
Not if you're more than 5 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
Jeff, moving on to the 5-5, Georgia baseball dropped another series now over the weekend, losing 2 out of 3 to Kentucky. Does that change anything about this week, or are we still looking at, you got Clemson tomorrow night and then 3 games in Oxford this weekend. If Georgia goes 2-2, is that still a solid week?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
So we'll take it right now, 2-2 this week, just absolutely. To avoid being swept in Oxford.
Absolutely, yeah, I think so. Remember when Georgia was 5-1, you know, we were talking about, we got 4 straight weeks with teams that have been ranked in the top 10. I said right then, I'll take 5-7, then that'd put the Dogs at 10-8 with Tennessee coming to town. Obviously, the coaches and players, you're going out there, you're trying to win everyone, but it's baseball. And the bottom line is, too, Georgia built up such a good cushion. If the Dawgs can just keep going 2-2 the rest of the way, we'll be in really, really good shape.
Well, I feel, you know, because of that cushion, there was that point when Georgia was leading the SEC, and then all of a sudden you start, like, thinking, well, I mean, could this team all come out of, you know, from nowhere and win the SEC title? And now, you know, you've had back-to-back weeks, you've lost series, and now you're going on the road for another one in Oxford where you figure it's going to be tough to win it, and you're, you know, you're falling a few games. I guess they're 3 games behind the Gators now, but that's where you got to, like, refocus and realize, like, now if this team makes a regional, that is beyond probably what anyone believed this team could do this year anyway.
No, agree 100%. Now, this past weekend was tough. I mean, trying to think of my days here. The Friday night game, I mean, that one got away. That's only the second time this year Georgia's had a lead get away in the ninth inning, and that one stung. The bullpen's been great. The bullpen has been overtaxed. And then Georgia, after winning 9-7, hanging on, and Ryan Webb, who was scheduled to start Game 3, closes out Game 2. But then C.J. Smith comes in, the freshman from just down the road, and throws 6 shutout innings. We lose 1-0, but I think now Georgia's going to go Johnny Holstaff tomorrow night against Clemson, but I would expect you'll see Smith probably be that midweek pitcher the rest of the way, because we've just gotten to a point where the top 4 guys out of the bullpen, and especially the setup of the bridge guys, and Shunk's been tremendous as a closer, but with Losey, Kristofak, and Kevin Smith, I mean, those guys have just been pitching in a ton of games and getting up a lot. So, you know, and you go back, Losey pitched 2 against Vandy. He pitched 2 innings against Clemson, and then he goes out and throws on Friday. So you're talking about, you know, he's thrown in 4 out of 5 games. Zach Kristofak's pitched in 7 out of 9 games. Now, we got to get that starting pitching situated and kind of need to hit that reset button with the pitching. And hopefully what C.J. Smith did, that gives Georgia yet another arm there.
After tomorrow, I mean, counting, there's only 4 more midweek games, right? There's the 2 with Tech and then that 1 with Presbyterian?
That's correct.
Yeah, so you know, at least those are, which I guess that's only how many weeks are left in the season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because we've played, so we've got 5 weeks left.
Yeah, I guess there's that 1 week of
during finals.
Finals, there's no game, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, Jeff, NBA playoffs, teams that are down 1-0 after the first 2 days of the tournament, Saturday and Sunday, who could still win their opening series.
Can Cleveland still beat Indiana?
I'm going to say yes, but that was pretty ugly yesterday.
That was bad.
But LeBron didn't seem too worried. He went, I was down 3-1 in the finals once and came back and won it. So I'm down 1-0 in the first round. I'm not worried.
They would probably be the best bet. But again, if you're a LeBron fan and a Cavs fan, I think for the first time since he took, I guess, Miami in 2011, or was that Cleveland then? I guess it was Miami in 2011 to the finals. I think there's genuine cause for concern in an Eastern Conference playoff series. I also, Oklahoma City is better than Utah, but I don't think Utah's dead there, and I don't necessarily think Minnesota's dead either.
Wow, the 8 seed.
I like the T-Wolves.
Well, before the I thought
that West is so good, though, and I know how good Houston is, but I mean that West is so good. Would anything really stun you?
I'd be stunned if Minnesota won.
What about San Antonio?
I'd be stunned if the Spurs beat Golden State, too.
So you think Golden State and Houston are they're clearly the 2 best teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but those are good basketball teams that they're playing is my point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, but the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, I just think, aren't going to have much of a shot.
Minnesota's probably sitting there going like, golly, why do we have to draw these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, their starting five
is
pretty darn good.
It is, but then they had to win the last game of the season just to make the playoffs.
Who did they edge?
I don't know. But they won. They won in overtime last day of the season.
So what's the other?
Who would it have been?
What's the other series? You got Golden State and San Antonio. You've got Oklahoma City and Utah. You've got Houston and Minnesota.
And then you've got, and then the fourth series in the West is.
Is it New Orleans?
It's New Orleans and Portland.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
And New Orleans is up 1-0 there.
They're good.
Yeah. I think they're going to win. So that would just say Portland's not one of those 0-1 teams to come back and win. I think Utah can still win. Before the playoffs, I liked Utah to beat Oklahoma City. I liked the Heat over the Sixers, too. So they're both down 1-0, so I'll stick with that.
Could the Bucks beat Boston?
No, I think Boston's going to win.
Even without Kyrie?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Because that, like, Milwaukee was just a popular – everyone was picking Milwaukee because of all the Boston injuries.
Yeah, they got Giannis.
They got the best player in that series, yeah. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.